Give you the reference. Now, I know somebody here is trying to figure out how to do that. It's probably Gib. So the studies that we're doing are based on the book, by the way, the name of the book. You wouldn't know that by looking at the title or the title page. The first followers of Jesus were called followers of the way because Jesus said that he was the way. And so what this author has done is he's put together the things that have helped him learn to follow Jesus better. And so each week we're looking at something different that he's come across that helped him and may or may not help you to follow Jesus. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for your word that teaches us and dwells in us. And we just ask that you would bless it to our use in Jesus' name. Amen. So the first believers started by hearing a story. Not too many people could read. And if it was scripture, it was either in Greek or later in Latin. And so the only way that you could hear about Jesus was if somebody told you. And it was the story. It's always been the story of Jesus. And that's why the song says, I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me. And that's all we need to know. And that was fine for about 1700 years. And then something happened which was called the Enlightenment. All of a sudden, people became enlightened. Before that, apparently they were stupid. But there were things that began to be developed. Certain disciplines, like biology and physics and chemistry and philosophy. And philosophy just means a love of wisdom. In the Greek, that's what it means, a love of wisdom. And physics, they would teach you things like a body that is in motion tends to stay in motion, and a body that is at rest tends to stay at rest. Maybe you've heard that. But in my case, it's whenever my body is in motion, it tends to want to rest. But what happened is the things that they attributed to God began to be attributed to somebody else, and that was Mother Nature. Mother Nature took over, and isn't it wonderful the way nature works? You don't need God to make a rainbow anymore. You just need light and a prism. And so the things that the church spoke about that were spiritual and in some cases mystic, like miracles, those things can't happen because they're not observable, measurable, and repeatable. And those were the things that science decided everything needed to be based on. If you can't see it, obviously it can't be there. If you can't measure it, then you can't do anything with it, right? What they forgot to realize is that in order to make a rainbow, you need a universe. A universe. You need a universe to make a rainbow. Everything has to be here. So belief in the Bible account started to be put aside. And people who had faith were considered simple-minded. Basically, it was women and simple-minded people. And the mysteries of faith were thrown out the window. That stuff can't happen. So the church responded. Actually, even before that, scripture kind of leads the same way that there's no thinking involved. It says, like Jesus said, when they take you to the synagogues and the rulers and authorities, don't worry about what you're going to say because the Holy Spirit will tell you at that moment. So I don't need to learn anything because at that moment the Holy Spirit's going to tell me. Proverbs was trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, don't try to figure it out. So all these things work together to put the church in a place where it had to do something. It had to prove that what they were teaching was rational. It made sense. And so they developed theology. Theology is a study of God. And the scientific approach is to do a systematic study. So you have a systematic study of God. And so what did they look at? They looked at the nature of God. What's God like? All-powerful. They use big words like omnipotent. Omnipresent, being in all places at all times. They looked at the nature of God's revelation to the world. They said there was two kinds. There's a general revelation, which he gives to everybody, and there's a specific one, which he gives to his church. And they looked at the nature of man. What's man like? And they put all these things together. And it was basically based on this scripture. And this is in Romans. Since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen. And they are understood through what has been made. So the church said, we're going to look at the world and we're going to explain God by what we see. And they said it's because so that people have no excuse. You have no excuse now. When you look at the world, everything that God has made displays himself. And so you have no excuse except to recognize that there is a God. And that was the church's response, theology. The problem with that is that now you could have people who could go to university and learn everything there is to know about Christianity or Islam or any religion and come out of there with a head knowledge and nothing in their heart. That whole knowing Christ didn't have to be there in order for you to know a lot about God. And so the author of our book has said that there has to be a balance. On one case, you know, we need no other argument, but we also need to remember that we're people that think. And he said, and so he wants to look at how you balance that mindset and that spirit. Because some people think they're in conflict. Some people don't like to think. And I heard that comment this morning from somebody, I don't like to think. And I talked to someone who was an overseer in a congregation, and I had mentioned Bible study, and they said, I don't need Bible study because the minister will tell me everything I need to know. And even, you know, thinking requires energy. It does. It requires energy. And most people, I think, are just trying to get through the day. They don't need to have to think about things. You know, they just want to get through the day in one piece, I think. And sometimes that's not easy. But even now, in today's society, you have to think. Because you get fake mail, fake news. You get telemarketers calling you saying, the police just found your credit card and we just need you to give us the number so you can verify it. And then they take all your money, right? And, you've just won $1 million, but you need to send us $5,000 so we can process it. And people keep getting caught in these kinds of things because they just listen, and it's a panic thing, and they don't think. So thinking is important. Some people can change their thinking depending on what they want. I can convince myself that I need things that I don't need. And I can give you a list if anybody's interested. but I can convince myself. And so, and sometimes people change the way they think depending on who they're with. And we see that a lot of times in church camps where kids come and they will adapt to whatever's going on, and they will say the things and do the things that happen at that camp because that's going to make them fit in. And then as soon as they go home, they go right back to what they were doing before. And adults do the same thing. Complex ideas require mental effort, and we don't like to do that. Deep thoughts. I always wondered if there was such a thing as a deep thought. But they're hard. They hurt. You know, deep thoughts hurt. But we have to think. Our mind produces ideas. We talk to ourselves in our head. We formulate things. We imagine things. We have images. We try to process all the things that are going on. And we do it all in our head. We do it all thinking. And we try to put things together to arrive at the truth. Who is Jesus? And we try to connect the dots. We try to see what the world is like based on how Jesus saw the world. We have to have a Christian worldview, the way that Christ saw the world. And that involves being wise, philosophy, being wise, loving wisdom, and loving God, who is the source of wisdom. Scripture tells us that there's different kinds of wisdom. There's the wisdom of the world, and James says, if you have jealousy and selfishness in your hearts, don't boast and tell lies against the truth. Such wisdom does not come from above, but is earthly and natural. Some of the things that the world does seem wise. But if they're not based on Christ, they're not the wisdom from above. The wisdom from above is pure, peaceable, gentle, accommodating, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial, and not hypocritical. And God's wisdom is not the same as man's wisdom. God's wisdom said, I'm going to save the world by dying. The world looked at that and said, Jesus failed. He didn't get to be the Messiah because they killed him. And that's one of the things that Muslims will say. Jesus was a prophet. He couldn't be the Messiah because he was executed before that could happen. John says, when he quotes Jesus, he says, you study the scriptures because you think in them they will possess eternal life. But these scriptures talk about Jesus. And the people at his time could read the Old Testament, which is what Jesus was talking about, and they could see how the scriptures talked about him. So they had to study, they had to read. And Paul tried to persuade people everywhere he went. And although we don't like to think Jesus, or in the Old Testament, Isaiah says this, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they will be white as snow. Let's reason together. Let's think these things through. And Jesus did the same thing. He said, you have heard it said that this is the way things should be, but I'm telling you, there's another way. And whenever someone approaches us with a suggestion, is there another way? And sometimes when you're dealing with people and they say something to you, sometimes the meaning isn't clear. And all kinds of miscommunication can happen and misunderstanding can happen. And I've heard people who can say the nicest things in the nastiest way. And you have to think for a minute, okay, now, is there another way that I can interpret this so that I'm not mad at them because they just complimented me? But I also know people who can say the nastiest things in the nicest way. And those you just want to hit, right? But you can't. So, but then you have to process it, and you have to go through, and you have to think, and it's like, oh, it hurts. And you have to pray for those people. And sometimes if I see them coming, I pray for them right away. Lord, don't let them see me. Oh, Lord, he's coming over. Help me hide. And that happens, right? But if you're praying for them, it can't be all that bad. So, and in a world where everything is either or, there's room for a third option or another way to think. And sometimes we get compartmentalized, we get pigeonholed. You're either an introvert or an extrovert. Well, there are people all along that spectrum. You know, you're either a thinker or a feeler. And there are people all through that spectrum too. And that is basically, you know, when someone asks you something, do you think first or you feel first? You know, how does it make you feel? Yeah, I'm not like that. I'm not a feeling kind of person. Maybe it's just, I don't know if it's just because I'm a dad or what, but you know, moms want to hug their kids when they're bad. Dads just want to smack them. It's like, ah, you idiot! But he's a nice idiot, dear. We love our kids. We have different ideas on how they should be raised, you know, but we love them. And we have to think it through. You know, what is the best solution to any given situation? And how can we follow the way that Jesus would do it? So here are some suggestions. From Scripture and just some of the things that I read. Ephesians says this, don't live as the Gentiles live in the futility of their thinking. The wisdom from the world is futile. Don't listen to the word only and deceive yourselves. Do what it says. James said that. Everybody can listen, especially to the Word of God, but if you don't do it, then you know it's gone in one ear and out the other. And in my case, that's easy because thoughts don't travel in a vacuum. Make sure that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ. And in the Jewish tradition, what they would do is they would read Scripture. And Jesus, in Luke, says that Jesus did this. He stood up in the synagogue and he read the Scripture, and then he sat down and then he started to teach. And that's what they would do. It wasn't somebody up here proclaiming the word, and then that was it. It was more like what we do Sunday nights at the table. We read the Scripture, we discuss it, and we all come out with hopefully something that we've learned from each other. And it's a lot easier than this. And I've heard once that the worst way to teach anybody anything is to preach. That's it doesn't last. Those kinds of things. It's. You need to be engaged. You need to be involved. You need to work it through yourself. But God's word is always free, and it's always available. And meeting God requires communicating. And that's what we try to do here on Sunday mornings. Scripture, for those who like to think. Music, for those who love to worship. Prayer, for those who want to talk to God. Like, we try to get everything and we try to squeeze it into 1 hour. All the different aspects. There are some songs that I don't really like to listen to, but I'll stick around for the sermon. You know, and there are other people that would rather spend the whole hour singing. And we're trying to get something for everybody every time. And hopefully, when you leave, you will at least take in something with you. So we need to see the world the way that Jesus sees it. And we need to see ourselves in his story and make our story part of his. So one way to do is to start reading the story of Jesus in the New Testament, in the Gospels. And you may find amazing things. I found out I'm a lot like Jesus. Scripture says that Jesus was acquainted with grief. I work in a cemetery. Everybody's grieving. Says that he was taken with his family on a trip and they left him behind. I remember sitting on a rock in the gas station halfway between nowhere and the other nowhere, waiting for my family to come back because the people in this car thought I was in this car, and the people in this car thought I was in this car. And when they came back, my mother, whose name was not Mary, said, "Why did you do this to us?" Same thing. And it was like, well, I went to the bathroom. And when I came out, you were all gone. Like it's my fault. Anyway. Jesus was crucified. I know Scripture says I have been crucified with Christ and that I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And that's nice, but that's kind of lame. You need something with a little more oomph to it. So, I was in high school. The theater arts department had an opportunity to go to the Indian village in Midland and be extras in a movie they were filming. And it was an Indian movie. I don't know anything about it because, you know, I may be on the cutting room floor. But we got there and they said, we need a couple of you to be executed. Oh, that sounds like fun. So we got the buckskins jackets, and they were all ripped, and they got the fake blood all over me, and there was a lot less of me then. They didn't have to use as much. And then they took us outside, and they had built something halfway up the palisade facing Little Lake, and two of us went up there, and we were executed by crucifixion. And when I read that Jesus was crucified, I remembered that. You know, I remember that. It was cool. Because I thought, you know, if Jesus died by crucifixion, that must be the way to go. Because I was a child and I didn't know any better, and I thought if it's good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for me. So I got to be crucified without being crucified. So that worked out well for me. And it was cool. Actually, it was really cold because it was February, and the wind was coming off the lake pretty bad, and I was, you know, trying not to tear up because you're supposed to be dead. Anyway, so I've been crucified with Christ. And you may find when you read Scripture that there are things that connect with you about your life and your story. You know, you read Proverbs, and there's some ideas about how you should live, and you might pick up something and say, oh, yeah, that's a good idea. Maybe the Psalms, where your heart is drawn to what someone else has said, their stories. Maybe Ecclesiastes, which I think was written by a really bitter old man who was frustrated with life. And he had to work through that. And maybe you might read something there that would help you. The stories of the failures and the successes of the people in the Bible can help draw you closer to Christ by seeing that we're not all that different. He was human. So are we. Scripture says that his word is sharper and than any two-edged sword, and it can judge the desires and the thoughts of the heart. And we often don't think of our heart as thinking. So I want to give you just a few small scriptures to think about. Timothy says this, or Paul says this to Timothy, protect what has been entrusted to you. Avoid profane chatter and absurdities of so-called knowledge. Well, what has been entrusted to you? Paul says this, I'm going to pass on to you something that I received. And so now 2,000 years later, I'm passing on to you what I received from Paul, is that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and you can look it up in the scriptures. That's, I know it's going to take some thinking, but you can look it up, or you can ask John. He was buried, he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and then he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. Then he also appeared to more than 500 at one time, most of who are still alive. So in Paul's day, did you see Jesus? Yeah, I was there. If you didn't believe Paul, you could go and ask these people. He said some have fallen asleep. Okay, so some have died, but a lot of them are still around. So if you want to know, ask them. I'm not making this up. This is real. And he said, then he appeared to James and then all the apostles. That's what we believe. That's what's been handed down to us, that story. And how it works out in our life, we need to think. We need to think through. And we need to be able to explain to ourselves what we believe. Do I believe this? Yes. Why? Because the minister said that's what I believe. And I've seen people who have gone to congregations where they like it there because they get told everything. Get told what to wear, get, you know, told everything, and it works for them because they don't like to think. You know, it's easier for someone to say, okay, you got to wear these clothes when you come to church. You got, you know, you've got to do these things. And then that's great because then I don't have to think. You need to be able to believe, identify to yourself why you believe what you believe. You believe that Christ rose from the dead? Why? Well, because Paul told me. Well, how does Paul know? Well, he talked to the guys that were there. Don't conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you can test and approve what is the will of God, what is good and well-pleasing and perfect. And when I was in high school, this was the verse I kept going back to. Be transformed. You look at the world that was going on, there was Vietnam was going on, and there was all kinds of nasty things, and some of the people that made promises to me were breaking them, and it was like, well, school is supposed to prepare you for the real world. And I'm looking at the real world going, I don't want to go there. Can't I stay in school for ever? Wouldn't that be better than going out into the real world? The other problem with that is that where I was my real world. You know, at that point, high school was my real world. And so to prepare me for something out there, you know, I wasn't really that interested in it, but I didn't want to go there. And so Jesus, you know, scripture comes along and says, don't conform to this world. Okay, so the Bible tells me not to conform. That's easy for a teenager. Teenagers don't like to conform. But what was the option? Like, okay, if I'm not going to be like the world, what was the option? Well, drugs. Well, that doesn't get you anywhere, right? So Jesus said, don't conform, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you can know what God's will is. I mean, there's a reason for it. So that you can know what God's will is. And lastly, Jesus says this, the Holy Spirit, who the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and will cause you to remember everything I said to you. The promise from Jesus is that we will be led by the Holy Spirit to remember everything that Jesus taught us. And that's great if Jesus ever taught you anything. Because you can't remember what you've never been taught. And so we go back to the scriptures, and we use our minds, and we wrap it around the worldview that Jesus gives us. You can't remember something you've never learned. And so we have to think. We have to think when we go out of here. We see advertisements on the TV. We got to think about whether it's true or not. We get in you know, even different congregations will say different things. We have to think it through. Is that, you know, is this important? Is it something that we need to really work on? Is it something that I believe? Is it something that's going to help me get closer to Jesus? Those things that you have to ask those questions. in order to draw closer to Him. Amen. Two Timothy 2:23.